welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and of course, the one time I do this intro in months where I'm like, wow, this sounds really good. I feel like my voice is back. Of course, I'm ending my workday early to go to the ENT later to be like, girly, what's going on with my voice? Of course, isn't it always like that? Right when you decide to book a haircut appointment, you're like, wow, my hair actually looks really good. Maybe I don't need a color. Maybe I don't need a cut. Every single freaking time. And I can't believe that is happening right now. And when I'm going to go and be like, my voice sounds great. Will you just like look in my nostril and be like, yeah, you have terrible allergies, going to an allergist, and I never do it. And I just keep going back to my ENT because I'm like, you're the nose expert. You're the nose expert. Anyway, this week we have a Churros Call episode, and I know we're doing a Gabby back-to-back. It's like Gabby, right on top of each other. But I promise there are less Gabby ones to come. We have a trip recap coming in the next few weeks. We have an interview coming in the next few weeks. We have a lot of fun stuff. So I think you guys like the chitty-chatty ones, but I know two back-to-back, I usually wouldn't schedule it that way, but it just kind of happened that way, and we are going to roll with it. Otherwise, everything else going on, I think the only pressing thing is that when I'm recording this yesterday, I took Pearl to the American Girl Cafe. Listen, I will be making a video about it to scream about how great it was. Maybe one of, if not the best dining experiences I've had in Los Angeles, and I'm not even joking. 4-course meal, $30, fantastic French fries, coffee included. Okay, coffee, dessert, a meal, appetizers, and French fries. Well, the French fries were $5 extra because I really wanted them because I ordered them. They had a quinoa bowl. I ordered a quinoa bowl instead of the burger because I had burger the day before. And so, long story short, affordable, fun. You can borrow a doll. I didn't know you could borrow a doll. It was an absolute gas, and I'm so glad that I went. On the drive over there, like, my child is so Disney-filled. Pearl was like, are there going to be rides? I only want to go if there are rides, which now that I say that out loud is, wow, I have really done a number on her. But she still had a great time, even though there were no rides. She wanted nothing to do with the dolls. She ended up buying a dress for herself for her birthday. Okay. Don't know how she put that together. She's like, birthday dress. And I was like, all right. Like, not even interested in the fact that one of these could go on a doll. Did not care. Only wanted a dress for her and wanted to, like, play with the little fake kitchen there. Totally fine. Anything for her. But yeah, that's kind of all that's going on in my life. There's some fun stuff coming up, so stay tuned. But we have a lot of your calls to get through today, so I'm not gonna waste your time. We're gonna get right into it. Stick around for some deals from Becky, and then we will be a chittin' and chattin'. See you soon. Welcome home. Are you a little sad to be off the Disney adventure? Because it looked amazing.
I was back to back. And it's the first time I ever thought I needed to do back to back to back and possibly to back.
Wait, you did two of them?
We did. We did a 3-day and then the 4-day. Because again, adventure, huge ship. Absolutely amazing. Tons of stuff to do on board. All the characters and the shopping and just how big it is. And the shows. Oh my gosh. I think I actually experienced the best dinner show I have ever seen on Disney Cruise Line, Hollywood Spotlight. It's set up like old 30s, 40s glam inside.
No!
And they have musicians, and then the characters come in. And then they go to tables.
So multiple characters?
Multiple characters.
Wow. Well, I'm so glad that you made it back and that you are at least awake enough to tell us about these major discounts, because I saw the news before we talked, and I couldn't wait to talk to you. Tell us everything about these Disney Cruise Line discounts.
Yeah, do you remember the last discount that came out? And I said, they've never done this before, and it's one of the best deals ever. Now we have kids sale 50% off the voyage fare. If you book by June 14th, so it's you got some time here, you get 50% off the voyage fare for up to 3 kids, ages, you know, because normally it's you know, 3 to 9. This is up to age 17 on select sailings with the purchase of 2 full fare guests in the same cabin. So if you have 2 adults that are paying full fare, you get up to 3 kids at 50% off. And that's available on select sailings and ships from October 1st, 26 to March 27th, 2027. I've seen them available on every ship except for the Adventure. There's not a better time to sail with DCL, especially because they are still running. All right, for those of us who don't have kids, they're still running that 25% off voyage fare for select sailings between April 2026 now and July. But you get that 25 or 20% off and up to 250 onboard credit at the same time. So if you've ever wanted to do a Disney cruise, now's the time to do it. And there's also, outside of these offers, you can find really great savings on sailings from San Diego and even Alaska. So if you were ever interested in doing Alaska and it's not part of these offers, they are still lower than they've ever been before.
Wow.
Yeah,
Wow. And remember,
crazy.
reaching out to Mousefan Travel is the best way to book this because I say that as somebody who books cruises with Mousefan Travel, because parsing through these on your own is so annoying. You do not want to do it. Trust me. And so to have a professional who can really tell you which deal is best for you and how to save the most money is so helpful, and it costs you nothing.
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 Nothing. Thank you so much, Becky. I can't wait to hear what other deals you have later on in the show. Welcome to our churros call episode. We have a lot of disparate calls. We have calls about living with ADHD. We have calls about Disneyland Resort. We have Disney Cruise Line advice. We have where do you get your Disney news calls? We have a little bit of everything, but what we don't have are one of your many responses to the bucket list episode because they are still coming in. I got multiple calls, truly multiple calls, that there is a Yankee Candle Doodad Expo. What is it called? Yankee Candle Factory, Yankee Candle Experience? Hold on, let me look up. Wait. Okay, I can't mess this up because I'm gonna get more calls about it and I don't want to drag you guys out. Yankee Doodle Dandy, Yankee Candle Village. There is one in South Deerfield, Massachusetts. Thank you to everyone who called. What I haven't done is really played a lot of the location-based calls. I know that I am not good with follow-through, but my plan, my hope, my dream is that later this year, when things get a little more chill, I'm going to invoice all of the calls I got from everyone being like, oh, you mentioned this on your bucket list. Here's four other incredible places to go. I want to make a little travel guide. Woo! I want to make a little travel guide. So if you haven't seen your call yet, that's why. I think it's just, there's so much good advice that I don't think is best in the churros call Q&A kind of format. I think it is better if I like type all that out and make a grid or like maybe base an episode around it and make it, and probably typed out like visual website link, something like that would work best. So if you haven't heard your call and you feel bad about it, that's, I'm hoping to make some sort of like a very amusing travel guide out of all of your calls so we can all know all of the wonderful places to visit attached to these bucket list places. Because like when the little like maybe an interactive Google map, oh, that would be sick. Okay, maybe we'll do that and I'll have like the main bucket list is one icon and then the other recommendations. Oh, okay, that I think that'll work best. Anyway, so that is why they aren't in this episode, but there are plenty of other calls and I hope you enjoy. Okay, let's get into it.
Hey Carly, this is just thoughts to the universe or whatnot. I don't have a question. I just wanted to say, like, thank you for talking about your whole health journey. I think a lot, like so many of us in our mid-30s, I have also been diagnosed with ADHD a very late in life. And then it's like, it's almost like this pipeline that I feel like so many people go through where they're like, oh, I have ADHD. This is so amazing. Now everything makes sense. And then it goes to like, oh, these are all the crazy, crazy health issues that are all linked to ADHD. So I just wanted to shout you out for just like talking about these things and just wish you a lot of support on your journey, having for me being about a year into a journey where I was told by a doctor I had chronic illness, like multiple chronic illnesses, and I kind of thought like I was going crazy because I'm like, oh, what are you talking about? I feel fine. I was like, I feel fine. I just injure myself all the time. That's completely normal, right? Like, it's completely normal to just injure yourself all the time. Turns out it's not. I'm guessing you're probably dealing with some connectivity, some like hypermobility disorder because apparently it's like 4 out of every 5 women with ADHD also have hypermobility disorders, and they're super fun. So when you're talking about things like the strength training, I'm like, oh, girl, I can relate. I was so much into cardio because it's so easy to do cardio, but then you have to actually like build muscle and blah, annoying. But yeah, so I just wanted to send this message to let you know that I'm out here also rooting for you and sharing, having my own struggles. And oh my gosh, it's just like so great that this information about women's health is now like so common. And so it's not like, oh, you're going crazy. Like, you don't, like, there's nothing wrong with you. And it's like, oh no, there are issues. And yeah, just wanted to thank you for talking about it. My name's Mary, by the way. I'm calling in from Anchorage, Alaska. So I hope you're having a wonderful day.
Hi, it's so great to hear from you. And it's really, really nice to get a call like this, because so much of, and I'm speaking for myself right now and kind of projecting, so much of being a woman in your 30s with ADHD is tied to, I grew up in my 10s and 20s not knowing this and did not have the tools I needed to succeed. And so I just kind of like scrapped a bunch of stuff together and was like, this is how I get through. Like, this is how I move on with my messy room and my messy purse. And like, this is how I get out the door on time. And we had to be very resourceful and kind of like, not cunning, but like, we really had to just kind of like nails on the chalkboard, do everything we could to force ourselves to move ahead. And it's so nice now that people are actually talking about this, because none of us knew about this before. I read somewhere ages ago that, like, I guess for millennials specifically, a lot of times because boys would act out, this is very gendered, but this is what I've read, like, you know, we're talking like 20 something, 30 years ago, this is just how things presented. But typically in boys, it would be presented that they were hyperactive. And typically in girls, again, this is not my research, this is what people have said. Typically, ours was more internal, so we weren't always diagnosed with ADHD as kids. I didn't have any female friends who had ADHD as kids, though. Wow, I'm sure we all had it. It's very, very, very wild that now this happened during the pandemic. You saw on TikTok, like, it's also kind of like why they ran out of meds. Like, they ran out of meds because so many people had this and we, like, couldn't. It was just like, oh, wow, everyone has it now. And like, yeah, we all did. And we've just all been suffering. Like, we all had to use our weird little systems for survival. And it was not great. There's so many things I do now that I'm now seeing in these videos that pop up on my feed that I'm like, oh yeah, I do that. And I didn't even know that that was a thing for people who had ADD or ADHD. There's so much information that I just keep casually learning on Reels Explore and on TikTok. And while I don't feel like I should ever be the face or voice of like a woman with ADHD, I just feel like it's so a part of me and a part of the decisions I make in a granular way, in a cellular way where I don't even really notice. And so much of it is so quiet and under discussed that I feel like it's my responsibility to mention it. It's like my responsibility to say that this, like, I have this, I'm here, and that we're kind of all in this together, especially because so many of us, if you feel anything like me, you've always been a little different. You've always been a little off. And you didn't know that that was a medical thing. I didn't know. I just thought I was really bad at getting things done. I thought I was just like really bad at surviving. It's really sad. I thought I was just bad in school. I thought I was stupid. It's not that. I just couldn't pay attention because I didn't care about what was being presented to me. And I couldn't focus for the length of a school day. It was really hard. And I'm glad I like got through. I found something I'm passionate about. And I'm very lucky in that respect. But oh my Lord, it is a struggle. And it continues to be a struggle to the point where like me packing a bag is so much mental load that I have to pack a suitcase this week. And I've been stressing about it for 3 days already. And it's a teeny tiny suitcase. It's just a lot. And I just want to make sure you know that we are in this together. And hopefully, like, from what we've learned in the past few years, maybe in a few years, we'll know even more about what this is like. And we will feel much more on top of everything. There is a book that I recommend you read, and recommending a book to someone with ADHD is very, very funny because I have read this, I retained none of the information, and I myself should read it again. But it's called, I believe the title is, What Do You Mean I'm Not Lazy, Crazy, or Stupid? I think that's the title. It is very helpful to read and be like, oh yeah, yeah, you get it. It's not just me. There's also like Driven from Distraction and Driven to, there's like very similar titles. Those are a little heavier. They are very ADHD intended. They're intended for an ADHD audience. I think somewhere in that book specifically, they're like, don't read it in order, skip around, feel free, which I find very comforting. But it is pretty bananas that like, I didn't know a lot of what I do is tied to this thing that I didn't even know I had. And that now a lot of people are discovering they have simply through their phones. For me, my health issues, I'm not entirely sure if they are tied to my ADHD. I have gotten a ton of videos about what you mentioned, the hypermobility stuff. And I watched those and was like, do I have this? And I don't think I do, but It's hilarious because even after your call, started Googling the hypermobility stuff and stuff came up, and a lot of stuff that came up kind of adjacent to that is stuff that I have. Like, I don't have POTS, which is something a lot of people, I don't know if there's ADHD crossover. I think there has to be. Like, a lot of people suffer from that. Like, you get dizzy when you stand up, you're lightheaded, you're always dehydrated. Like, I've had that for years, over a decade, and nobody can really figure out what it is. Like, I went to the zoo over the weekend and I had a jug of electrolytes and was still like, oh boy, I'm woozy. I'm scared for the summer, okay? I get fatigued so easily. You know, from any podcast of mine that you've listened to about me going to Florida, you know, I'm always like, ay, 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 the sun. But my tummy stuff, I have a sneaking suspicion is more tied to hormones, having a child, post C-section, vagus nerve, Lord knows what, stuff like that. I think that is that. But I agree with you so much because in terms of the cardio, it is so hard when you have ADHD to do something that you don't want to do. It is the hardest thing in the world. And sometimes that is literally standing up from the couch. There are certain places in my house where I cannot sit there at night. This is an ADHD thing and I never think about it. I cannot sit, like if I sit in the kitchen, there's like a bench, there's like banquette seating in our kitchen. If I sit there to eat my dinner, I will not get up until 10:30 and I will get nothing done. If I sit on the couch, it is impossible for me to get up and actually keep moving around. Oh my God, this is an ADHD thing, isn't it? I can't believe there's so little that we know and we are learning so much and it is not happening fast enough. I eat a lot of my meals standing up. And I think that's kind of weird because when I'm at a theme park, I hate doing that. I do not like eating out of trash can. You all know that. But I eat my meals standing up at home because if I sit down, it derails me in a way where I ate breakfast before recording this. I'm standing at a standing desk recording this, which is a new thing I do because it's like physically helped a lot with mobility. But I stand up to eat because if I sit down, there is a chance that I will not be able to get myself back up, which is insane to say. That is crazy. But that's ADHD. It's got to be ADHD. Like, I eat my meals standing up. Also, it's easier because I'm like, Morty's further away and he always wants my food because my food's like salmon and chicken. It's his dream meal. I always give him a little bit. I put it in his bowl. Okay, I put some salmon in his bowl. Don't get on me. But I eat my meals standing up because it's just easier. Once you're moving, it's easier to just keep moving and to keep getting the things you have to get done. Wow. You see, can you believe that I'm responding to your call about like the things we don't know about ADHD and I'm learning one in real time? Everything we do is informed by this. So I am here with you. We are together in it. Thank you for calling. Sometimes I don't know if I talk about it too much. Maybe this call is too much for people whose brains work, who can do simple mathematic equations and didn't have to, you know, redo a check more than twice at American Girl Cafe because they couldn't figure out the math. Okay. For you guys, I'm jealous. I am impressed by you and I'm so amazed. And for the rest of us, we're doing our best and I am proud of us. Thank you for this call. Thank you for suffering along with me. And I hope that your health stuff gets better. And I hope mine does too. Okay. Thank you for calling. Really. Thank you.
Good morning, Carly. Steve from Michigan. I wanted to call and ask for advice about how to possibly take a first cruise. I personally have been on a Caribbean cruise. It was only for 4 nights. I believe it was for Western Caribbean, and we went to Cozumel, and I felt that the cruise was way too short. It was, I don't know, it felt like it was a flash in the pan, which brings me to my question. I have been on a cruise. My wife has not, and we definitely want to do Disney Cruise Line. We are excited for it. We initially had planned to do the European one that leaves out of Spain, out of Barcelona, Spain, and I think it was like 6 or 7 nights. But that plan fell through, and now we're looking at the Caribbean cruises. She wants to do a short cruise because she wants to see if she likes it. Again, I fall back on my experience with the Caribbean cruise and how short it was. Do you advise taking a shorter cruise to dip your toes in the water, or do you feel that you're not getting the full cruise experience by just a short cruise, either a 3 or 4 night cruise on it? Any advice would be greatly appreciated. I think a longer cruise would be more beneficial, but I understand my wife's point about not wanting to spend a whole lot of money if she's not really going to enjoy it. Again, I appreciate your time. Love the podcast. Loved that interview. Just wow. Thank you again, Carly, and I hope you're having a wonderful day.
Hi. Okay. Okay. Before I get to answer your call, I just want to say thank you for reaching out to me because I do feel like I'm the right person to answer this. Even if you might not like my answer. Okay, am I even? You might. Okay. Okay, you might not like my answer, but before we get into that, I do want to say that if you were at all mourning that your spouse's first trip wasn't this European cruise, I actually think this is a good thing. Because when you sail Disney Cruise Line on one of those grand out of the country itineraries, in my experience, I've done one of them. It is an unbelievable trip, okay? You are like, your hotel is the Disney cruise ship, and then you are out in these destinations and you come back and boom, it's Disney. It's the way I described in the Alaska episode. It's very similar. It's like you get two vacations out of one and it's fantastic. But on those European itineraries, specifically in my experience, we went to Italy. I think we were in and out of Barcelona and we went to multiple Italian destinations. The day we went to Rome, let's say, we didn't park the boat at the Colosseum. It was, I think, almost 2-hour drive into the city and back. And that was a lot. We got a full day in Rome. I got to see the Colosseum. My mom and I went to Roscolioli, I think it's called. We had a great day. We did everything. That was a really fun trip. That was a really good trip. We had a great time, but we came back and we got to hug Goofy in a special outfit and go to dinner. And that was rad. But there wasn't really as much ship time. So if we're really focusing on cruise, like the cruise experience, while that is wonderful, Alaska, I feel differently because you're not out. You're not driving 2 hours and back every single day. And there is a lot of ship time. You know, you have Glacier Day, stuff like that. Alaska's a little different in that respect where you are on the boat. You're on the boat in Alaska and it's grand. But I think not dodge the bullet, but I think this ended up breaking your way. I think the Caribbean is a better choice because you're going to get a lot of really fun, hot weather ship time without the pressure of we have to go take an 11-hour excursion. I think it's going to work out. Now, in terms of length, okay, podcast mascot, Jeffrey. Hello, Jeffrey. He always texts me whenever he listens and he comes up every episode. All planets revolve around Jeffrey, and now I'm realizing I'm too dumb to know if all planets do revolve around a certain planet. So Jeffrey's gravity. Let's just leave it at that and not expose how absolutely stupid I am when it comes to many things I learned in school. Now, Jeffrey has told me point blank that he thinks anything under 4 nights is kind of a waste. And I do not agree, because here is where the divide comes. Jeffrey, sorry to use you as an example, dude. Jeffrey really likes to go on Disney Cruise Line and relax. And if you are someone who likes to relax, you want to lay in the loungers, you want to go in a hot tub, you want to chill, you might need more than 4 nights because you start and then you have a few full days and then you got to be packing again. If you are someone like me who enjoys Disney Cruise Line because you are in the Disney of it, I am totally fine with 3 or 4 nights. Sometimes I just need a taste. I just need a little. I do not like to relax. I am not there to lounge at all. I don't think I've ever sat on a lounger on Disney Cruise Line ever. And I'm pretty sure I'm about to go on my 10th cruise. I just don't lounge. I want to do the activities. I want to see all the artwork. I want to go to the stores. I want to see every nook and cranny of the ship. So I think what the deal breaker is going to be is what kind of vacation you guys want to have. If you want to have a chill beach vacation, I do think 4 nights is doable, but I would do 5 nights. I would do 5 if you can push it, or maybe do a 3 and a 4 and then have one special night on land, before or after your trip, somewhere that maybe your spouse loves in the Orlando area, maybe in the Fort Lauderdale area. You could do a sailing out of Fort Lauderdale, do a few nights, and then come back and do one special night at a hotel just to break it up and give them something to look forward to. Guys, have something nice, have something nice to pair with a shorter length of cruise if you are not thrilled by that. But I will say my husband does not like cruising. He does not like sailing, flat out starts at a no. And I think that after 3 or 4 nights, he would not love it. So I think for someone's first cruise, I do think 4 or 5 nights is ideal. I would check the ports and the options, and I would kind of choose based on pricing and stuff like that. I do think 4 nights is... Sorry, Jeffrey, I think 4 nights is good because you get the first day is a wash. You're like, I'm here, what's going on? Then you have 2 full days. So it's really you just get to luxuriate in it. And depending again on how activity based you are, if you guys are gonna be running around the ship doing every little activity, playing all the games, I think you guys will be fine longer, or you guys will be fine shorter. But if you want to relax, you may want that extra day bookended by days where you're not packing or unpacking, because the first and last night are chaotic. So you're either going to have 2 or 3 nights in between. And if you want an extra little night to just chill, then I would push for 5. I would aim for 5 and be okay with landing at 4. Now, if you're listening to this with your spouse, I apologize because I just gave up your plan. But I would try to sell them on 5 And then just know that four, but like actually know you might end up going on four, and then they will think they won. They will think they won a little. I'm sorry if you're listening. I don't mean to like, I'm not scamming anyone. I'm just saying like, be. I think if you're like good with four, but like you aim for five, try to see if you can get away with a five and be like, here, maybe be like, here's what we're going to do. We'll go to Apollo this night. We'll do this this night. And if you do five, then you can do maybe two specialty dinings and a regular rotation. Okay. Okay. I'm just saying you don't want to miss a restaurant. Okay. So just put it that way. And I think that'll work best for you. Let me know how it goes. Because I'm going on a Disney cruise very soon. And I can't wait to tell you about it. I love Disney Cruise Line. Go for as long as you can. Final answer. Okay, bye.
Hi, Carly. My name is Amanda, longtime listener of the podcast and a fellow Midwesterner moved to Californian. My question is not so much theme park specific, but more of a news kind of related. I recently left a social media platform for my mental health, and I think it was the right choice. However, I do feel like I am missing maybe the instant news gratification I was getting on that platform. And I'm curious, like, I am on Instagram. I am, you know, looking at things online. I'm curious if maybe you could shamelessly plug your favorite Disney or theme park related news sources. Anybody who's, like, posting the news in a, like journalistic fashion, people who are just letting us know what's going on. I also feel like there's a lot of fake news out there these days. And I'm looking for, you know, people I can follow who are steering me in the right direction, who are letting me know what's going on at the parks, and, you know, people who just have a good time doing that. So thought it might be a good question for you. If you want to shamelessly plug any of your journalistic theme park friends, I would love to know more about who I can be following. Thanks.
Hi, thank you so much for this call, because I think this is a really, really important call, especially in 2026. Because if you asked me, honestly, even 2 years ago, my answers would be completely different. Everything is so different across social media platforms, but especially Twitter and X, which is where a lot of the theme park news would come from. That's where I used to break theme park news all day. I used to just be tweeting out theme park news. And at this point, I don't even do it anymore, because the way that that platform shifted, I used to be dialed in to a very, very deep Disney community. So when I shared something, not only would all of my followers who cared about that news see it, but it would spread in a way where like news could be broken. It is not the same anymore. That platform is just, they changed the algorithm and they changed it all, and you know who bought it, and ugh, it's not the same. You cannot make friendships on there anymore. I've met some of my best friends in real life on Twitter. It is not what it used to be. And it also has changed the way that we digest news and are able to get news from that platform. So I commend you for getting rid of one of the platforms. I'm not sure if you mentioned which. I don't think you did. That is huge. I am unable to do that. I aspire to your greatness. I'm trying to avoid the scroll within the platforms I do go on, but I'm very, very impressed by you, and I want to congratulate you at the beginning. Now, without getting too sad about Twitter, I do want to just break this down in a non-platform specific way for you. And we are going to be, I'm just going to be so for real about this, guys. Like, that's what this podcast is for, is for me kind of peeling back the curtain about a lot of what I do, and especially things being a little different in this time frame. Now, these days, at the time of recording this, news is breaking in a really different way than it used to, which is why you're kind of wondering where to go. Before, it would really be like people would tweet stuff out. It would be the first thing you saw when you opened the app. You would know what was happening. And now everything is so fragmented between apps. A lot of times before, the news would come directly from Disney announcing it themselves. They would often, a few years ago, they would tell us that news was coming, and then we would be allowed to share it. Even though we had known about it before it happened, we would be sharing it the moment it went up on something like Disney Parks blog. And while I'm pretty sure that still happens, don't quote me on that, I'm pretty sure it still happens, but now a lot of times people are getting news directly from Disney and sharing it themselves without it ever appearing on Disney's own platforms. Now, this is not insider info. This is not gossip. This is just the way it's done. And if you know this space, you would clock that and you would notice it instantly. But a lot of times people might not pick up on that because it's not as obvious as you would expect it to be. And I think that is why a lot of the news feels more fragmented and why we're probably having this conversation. Because you're like, where is this news? Where is it coming from? Like, where's the source? Where's like the main source I can go to so things aren't just like trickling down? Where is the head of that stream? And that is what I'm here to help you with. So lately, a lot of times when Disney Parks is announcing news, they will, you know, announce it in their TikToks and their Instagram Reels. They will put it on the Disney Parks blog. But often Disney PR will seed information to a small group of people. Sometimes that group is larger, sometimes it's smaller. But for really specific, like business-focused, company-based, park-specific news that doesn't end up on the Disney Parks blog, it will be to this group of about like 6 to 10 people. In the past few months, that group, that little small group and those outlets have primarily been places like Mickey Visit, Lou Mangiello and his platforms, Scott Gustin on Twitter. I'm pretty sure Drew the Disney Dude, is that his handle? Let me just check. Drew the Disney Dude, he's on YouTube also, but, and on Instagram, I'm mostly familiar with his work on Twitter. He posts a lot of news there. He, I believe, has been part of that kind of cluster. I believe Laughing Place is part of it. I'm not 100% certain. Mice Chat, Dusty is definitely part of that. And often there's a few others that are put in there, maybe some news outlets. I feel like David Vaughn has been part of that group at times, who I love. David Vaughn has incredible content. We will be recommending David in a moment. But a lot of those people are sometimes given news directly that then they announce. Again, this feels like something I'm not supposed to say, but this is what's happening. And it's very clear when you see news on Scott Gustin's feed and it's not anywhere else from Disney. That's just news that it was information that was given to him. Why do I feel like I'm breaking a rule? Why do I feel like I'm breaking a rule? Like that's clearly what's happening when it's official news and it's not on Disney's platforms. I will say my stomach is kind of turning over, realizing that it's possible every single outlet I just mentioned in that inner circle is a man. And it's possible that if I may be leaving a few people out, but it's possible that the vast majority of the people I just mentioned are white men. And that's not great. I'm not going to forge down that path at this time because I'm already feeling a little itchy. Like I'm saying the quiet part out loud, even though the quiet part is literally being said out loud on social media platforms. But again, we're just going to put a pin in that. We're just going to put a pin in that and recognize that that doesn't feel great. It doesn't feel great. Now, the reason I'm so glad you called about this, because it is really hard to discern things like that. But I want to make sure you have the tools to notice if something is authentically coming from Disney, because those muddies are a little watered lately. And the water is a little muddied lately. That's what I meant to say. And it can be really hard to tell when someone's just saying something and it has no validity. And when someone is saying something and there's actual truth there, even though it doesn't link back to like a Disney.go.com platform. If you saw some outlets lately mention like, oh, they were on a call with Josh D'Amaro, those are people who are kind of getting stuff straight from the source. Disney has also been rolling out news directly to fan sites and outlets. So if you saw something like park hopping at Disneyland Resort will be going away later this year, details like that, those were also seeded directly from the company. If someone had that story, that is someone who you can trust who is getting the information and it is confirmed. And it's really, really tricky these days to tell who's reposting, who's reblogging, and who's actually getting it because there's no hyperlink back anymore all the time. Now, I would recommend any of those people I mentioned, they are going to have accurate news information for you 100%. I am also a Disney food blog, All Ears Girly. I always trust them. I would make sure you check them out. Scott Gustin on X, I know he has a newsletter. I'm not really sure how often he posts about it, but his X account, even if you don't go on the platform, he might duplicate that to like Blue Sky or some of the other places. I would definitely check on Scott Gustin because Scott Gustin has 100% accurate stuff all the time and is always posting news. Obviously, these people are also friends of mine, but it's because I respect what they do and I think they do a great job. All of those fan sites I mentioned, yeah, I would go on any of those and really support anything they say. Laughing Place, Mice Chat, Mickey Visit, things like that. And if you want this kind of theme park news with a mix of pop culture Disney news, stuff with movies, TV, characters, events, definitely check out David Vaughn, who I mentioned. Great feed. Like, David's been killing it. He's been doing so well. Real Mouse Vibes. I love them. They're a duo. They are fantastic. And they do fun TV pop culture stuff, but then also do Disney park stuff. I think they're great. Patrick Dougal's also in that pop culture, but also theme park space. I would check his stuff out. And I also, it's not as news-based, but I personally love the Mouselets. I love the Mouselets because they dive into Disney history in this way that feels so fun and light and refreshing. It's just done in a different tone that I really, really love. And I'm so amazed by their work ethic. They must have time turners from the Harry Potter universe, because I don't know how they churn out so much content and then like live their lives and have jobs and things and travel. It's a lot. I'm amazed by them. I don't know how they do it. I'm blown away. I just think their feed is wonderful. They'd never seen them. They've been around forever. Everybody loves the Mouselets, but they were never in my feed until last year. And now I feel like I'm making up on lost time. I think that's mostly it. When I need news, I go to Scott, I go to Disney Food Blog, and I go to all those other people. And yeah, I guess I haven't like addressed the elephant in the room, which is that I don't really post news anymore. I just kind of stopped doing it a few years ago, and it's been fine. Like big news I'll post about, big news that I care about, but there was a time during the pandemic when every day I was like on my phone, posting news, commenting on news. And it was a full-time job I wasn't getting paid for. Like, to be frank, it took hours and hours and hours and hours of my life. And it was very stressful. And it wasn't me writing a story. It wasn't me doing a podcast. It was just tweets. And it became overbearing. And when I had a child, I was like, I just don't have the bandwidth for this anymore. And so I stopped doing it. And other people are way better at it. And Scott is way better at it. So I'll just repost Scott. And it's kind of been fine. I wish I had more Disney news newsletters to give to you. I'm sure all of the fan sites I mentioned, like all of those guys are really, really dialed in. And I'm sure they have great newsletters. My stance with the newsletter is like, I don't want fun in my inbox. My inbox is like where dreams go to die. It is like my dark place with all of my to-do lists are like scattered across email and in my phone, like in my calendar, like I've been saying, that's like the final boss of to-do is when I schedule it for like a time block. But stuff where I'm like, oh, I have to make sure to get Pearl birthday cupcakes. I send an email to myself and then my whole email inbox is tasks and it stresses me out, but I know I'm going to see it. If it's there, if it's in a notebook, I might close it. So it's there. And like new fun newsletters just isn't, it's too much. It's too much in the inbox for me. So I'm sure there are newsletters. If anyone has any other sources they love, let me know. But like all those guys are my colleagues. I think they all do a great job. I think they've been doing a really fantastic job in this new media landscape, keeping up with news and making sure to get stuff out, whether or not Disney themselves is commenting on it. And I'm just really impressed by all of them. And that's it. Okay. I hope that was helpful. And congrats again for getting off one of your platforms, even though I just gave you a lot more internet to go deal with. But I hope it was helpful. Thank you so much for calling. Okay, bye.
Hi, Carly. This is Kristen in Baltimore. This is more of a comment than a question, but I wanted to thank you. On a recent Instagram subscriber Q&A, I asked a question about what I should do with 24 hours solo in Disney World with my first annual pass, and you gave me some really great suggestions, along with just the general suggestion that I think about this as time to do things that I wouldn't normally do if I felt the pressure to get my money's worth out of a day ticket or something, like really take advantage of the annual pass holder of it all. And it was the best advice. I appreciate it so much. It helped me go into my quick little solo trip with a mindset of just enjoying the vibes and the atmosphere and having fun snacks and not feeling the pressure to wait in long lines or get lightning lanes or anything. So just wanted to tell you that the advice was excellent and I appreciated it so much. And it helped me get in the right mindset to have an incredible visit to Disney World. Sorry, so sad I can't be at Amusapalooza, but I hope you guys have a great time. Thanks. Bye.
Hi. Okay. Huge bummer that I scrolled back in like all the subscriber archives on Instagram and I can't find this, and I should be able to find it because usually it's really easy to find. But to be honest, I gave up. I looked for like 7 or 8 minutes and I was like, I can't find it because it came from my brain in the first place. So maybe I can replicate it. But anyway, I just want to mention, thank you for this call. And also, I do want to spread this mindset. I feel like this is my new philosophy for like the next 10 years of my Disney career. Anything I can do to release you from the golden handcuffs of Lightning Lane is my purpose for being here. Because I do think that Disney is best enjoyed when there is no pressure, no schedule, no stress. Trying to make Disney as stress-free as possible is important. And it's not always possible. If you don't go often, if you have a small child who like you're crossing off a first, they got to get on this ride. If you have someone who's obsessed with the character and they have to make it on, say, Frozen Ever After, you don't know if they can wait in a line that long because they got to go potty and they're learning how to go bathroom. Like there's so many factors that go into the schedule of it all. But I do think there is something, if you can ever experience Disney parks with like just blissfully breezing through. It is like visiting a completely different place. And I think that's part of the reason why I love going so much and why I love my job is that sometimes I'm there and I'm running and gunning. I am getting things done. If there is a new ride, if there is a work research trip, like I am going, I am scheduled. But then sometimes I go and I'm just farting around. And it's just as good. You can actually have just as good of a day here, maximizing rides and also just farting around and doing a whole bunch of nothing. Because there is enough going on here. We're just taking in the sights, wandering into a store you've never been in before. Oh, there's a character. That sort of discovery is part of what makes these places great. And while a lot of that has been taken out with the paid Lightning Lane system, I mean, even paid FastPass, there, it's a double-edged sword because I do appreciate that there is a way that you can guarantee that you are going to do the things you came here to do. That is why I do think it is a great tool, even though it does require money. Now, I think it is fantastic that you can go, okay, my mom is obsessed with Winnie the Pooh. This person loves this and someone else really wants to see Pirates of the Caribbean. Like you can make sure that all those boxes are checked off and you know exactly when they're going to happen. I think that is an incredible tool for a Disney vacation, but especially when there's other mitigating factors like nap time and children and jet lag and balance, things like that. But being able to do Disney World with no pressure, no, I spent X amount of money, so we have to do Y. It's really lovely. And I recommend even maybe building one free day into your trip if you can do it. Maybe it's even like the departure day. If you don't go to the parks, just like bopping around to different resorts, if you're on the Skyliner line or like doing whatever you can to just get a little bit of that impromptu Disney magic, it will rejuvenate you in a way that you never expected. And I highly recommend. And I'm so glad that I was able to spread like my love of the vibes and the atmosphere to you. And there is so often I myself, and I'm sure many of us breeze through some of the most beautiful, well-designed spaces. They're like the music, the atmosphere. It's something that we enjoy on the way to something else. And sometimes that can be the destination. So I'm so glad you had so much fun on your 24-hour solo trip. If any of you haven't been to Disney World solo before, I recommend you do it at some point in your life, even if you just like ditch your family for a few hours or your friends and you're like, I just need some time to myself, do it. It's really rad. It's really fun. Okay. I'm so glad I could help. I miss Disney World so much. And I'm glad you had fun. Okay, bye.
Hey, Carly, just wanted to let you know that the Musapalooza sounded amazing. Sounds like so much fun. Would love to go. Not sure how much you're looking into the future about doing round 2.0, but hey, any information you could let us know on the next podcast would be greatly appreciated. How do I sign up?
Hi! Also, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry we have such a dumb, difficult name for this event. I thought Musapalooza was a funny name, and I'm realizing how hard it is to remember and how challenging it is to say. So I apologize that you had to stumble through it. That is my own fault by giving it this wackadoo name. But I do want to let you know, I don't have news, but I don't not have news. I do have a call with Becky, as you know, and Blair about the event and about moving forward with future events. We're going to discuss next steps. The day this podcast comes out, we have a call. So stay tuned for future information. But the truth is, I want to do these as often as is sustainable. If we were doing these purely as park events with no goodie bag, with no special touches, with no me being extremely particular about every single detail, we could do these more often. But it's really, 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 really important to me that if we do something like this, it has to be the best possible version of the event it could be. To me, if you are flying or driving or traveling across the country, if you are spending money for something that I am putting my name on, it has to be the best possible event with as much physical effort as I could put into it that you can experience. Like, that's just how I am. Everything has to be as good as I can possibly do it. So I want these to be really, really special, which might in turn mean that we do a few less of them. It also means that we might do a few different types of events. I'm not going to say anything else about that. I am waiting to talk to Becky because, as you know, if Becky says to do something, I'm going to do it. Becky was like, do a group trip. And I'm like, no one's going to come. That's pointless. And now I'm like, group trips forever. Becky's my sage. Becky's my guide. I trust her. She's so good at business. She's so smart. She's so good at everything that I'm going to talk to Becky and see what Becky recommends. And then we're going to move forward on that. But like, just to put it in perspective, this event took a lot of work, And like, what we ended up doing wasn't that far from what like booking a regular Disney event is. And you wouldn't think that it would take so long to get things through, but it took Blair so many weeks of work to even like get small menu adjustments approved. I'm a month out from Amusapalooza now. Wow, that is bonkers. And I'm still like fulfilling some exchange agreements I made with brands to be able to give product to our attendees. I'm now almost done posting videos from the event a month later. Like brands donated a lot of product. I pitched so many brands that took months of work. I had to pitch people. I had to like encourage them to donate product because they're donating product for 100 people. That's a lot of stuff. And I wanted to like let them know what we had never done this event before. I had to like really do a lot of that type of work. I still need to send every brand a formal recap of like photos of the event and what it was. I need to reach out to brands that said no to be like, here's what it is. I hope to talk to you next time. Like there's a lot of infrastructure required even for just giving out a drawstring backpack full of like caramel and candy. Like it took a lot of work. So I just need to make sure I don't overcommit. I want to make sure that when we do these again, it will be just as good. But yeah, we are definitely going to do it again because it was so much fun and I miss it so much. And I know there's a lot of people who couldn't make this one and we need to do a new one so that everyone who wants to go can go. I mean, or as many as people as possible, because I don't know what, I'm not clearly not the person to talk to about capacity because I goofed on the first one and I didn't think we would sell out in a million years and we did very quickly. So again, I take that back. Make sure as many people as possible for the constraints and limits that we have can attend. But stay tuned. We will hopefully have more information. I don't know when, but we are talking about it this week and we are going to do our best. So stay tuned. I can't wait. I just want more. I just want to hang out more. It was so fun. And I just want to do it again and bring everyone back. It was the best. Okay. Thank you for calling. And I hope to see you there. Okay. Bye.
Hi, Carly. This is Tyler from up in Alberta, Canada here. And I was going back through the Downtown Disney ordeal. Perhaps you remember that back from the old days with Podcast The Ride. And I had never realized where the name The Fomaly came from, with your Facebook group. And, I had been very naive to even knowing how to spell Fomaly. But it just hit me as I listened to this old episode of Podcast The Ride. And in case anybody is wondering, that is, the Downtown Disney District ordeal, level 4, stage 2. But, you love foam on coffee. And all sorts of hot drinks. And I forgot about that all the time. Anyway, so I'm just happy I figured out that your Facebook group is called the Fomaly because of your love of foam. And it used to be called a very long name that I cannot remember, but it is now the Fomaly. Proud to be part of the Fomaly, proud to get this part of history and just let it out instead. In case there are people who are just joining and are unaware, and just wondering why is this called the Fomaly. That's all. Have a great day.
Why does like 2018, 2019, 2020 feel like it was 35 years ago? What is the deal with that? Because I remember when I started the Fomaly, like also this is when cold foam first came out. Do you know how decrepit and old I sound saying back in the day when cold foam first came out, when Downtown Disney had 2 Starbucks? I sound like I'm hobbling down a hill with a cane. Like, what? The lifetimes we have lived, you guys, in the past 10 years absolutely blow my mind. But yeah, I was there, boots on the ground, baby, when they introduced cold foam, and a lot of you there were right alongside me. I immediately became obsessed with cold foam because it's all I've ever wanted. Do you remember coffee before there was toppings? Oh! It was like, do you think it's like how they felt when they made a sundae for the first time? They were like, oh, we're at a scoop of vanilla, yum, yum. They were like, we can add whipped cream. Like, they're so, like it was really innovative and it kind of changed the world. I'm sorry, Starbucks changed the world. I still have my Vitamix air mixer. I don't use it as much as I should, honestly, but I did just put a can of coconut cream in the fridge. So maybe tomorrow we'll be whipping up some cream to put on a cold brew. Now, yes, the origin of the Fomaly is that it began out of like a group obsession with foam. I am, because time has passed. I'm hazy on the details, but it used to be called, I think, like the Carly Wiesel Good Time, Fun Time Party Zone, something like that. I just wanted it to sound like at a Chuck E. Cheese, like the area where you go to sit and eat pizza and they have like the fun carpet and the fun walls. Or at least how I remember Chuck E. Cheese, because it's been a millennia since I've been there. But yeah, I'm cold foam for life, guys. And also, we were ahead of the curve. Okay, pat on the back. Boom, boom. We were ahead of the curve. We were ahead of the curve. Everyone out here putting toppings, flavored lattes. We were ahead of the curve. We were there. But yeah, the foamily. Also, it's really funny because I've never gone about doing anything in the past 10 years intentionally. Think about it. It's true. I mean, think about it. I have just kind of fallen. I'm like, ooh, I'm like falling down a beautiful black hole, just hitting wonderful things on the way down. I did not intend for any of this. Remember, I went to Disney World for my bachelorette party and was like, I haven't been here as an adult. Let's see if it's fun. And then it became my whole life. It took over my brain. I never intended to start a podcast until my friend Nikki was like, you should host a podcast. And I was like, okay, I guess I should. And then I just did it. I never intended to partner with a travel agency and create a Musapalooza until Becky was like, you should do this. And I was like, okay. I guess the secret to life is just trusting people who are smarter than you. I don't want to make it sound like I'm like a ping pong ball and like everyone else are flappers being like, go do this. But I just trust people who I know are very knowledgeable and can see beyond my limited purview of myself. And I trust them and I ran with it. And like, part of that, like formally, a lot of people, I keep seeing like these things pop up in my feed because I consider myself to be very bad at videos on Instagram. It's not something like me talking to the camera feels normal, feels natural. But a lot of people, when they're talking to the camera, they're doing it with this like, not like sinister, but it's like with this intent. It's like, you got to start with a hook and then you got to do this and you got to do that. And like, I can't keep that thought in my head. And so I don't know how to do that. And so a lot of times stuff pops up in my feed and I watch it and then it keeps giving me more and more. And it's like, oh, like how to do with this or that. And it's like, I'm just never going to be like, I'm a mom of one living in Los Angeles. And here's the 7 products that I can't leave my house without. Like, I'm just not going to, that's not me. A lot of it isn't me. And so I end up watching these videos and then the algorithm kind of learns the wrong thing from that. Anyway, a lot of times these videos pop up and people will be like, ooh, you gotta be building a community. I don't know. Listen, I don't know how I got here, okay? I don't even know how I'm like standing in my own office recording a podcast. Like, I've never intentionally done anything. I just really love talking to people. I love making friends. And I guess that's just authentically building a community. I think other people are trying really hard. I don't know. Okay, I'm not gonna get into it. I don't know what other people do because again, my brain is just like, you know those things on the end of an old train where it's two people like pushing the seesaw? That's what's happening in my brain. It's working really hard just to like keep me awake and keep me functioning and reminding me to drink water, which I never do anyway. But I remember seeing some stuff that was like, oh, you gotta build a community. You gotta have a Facebook group. You gotta make these spaces. And I'm like, that's so funny because yet again, the Facebook group, the Foamily, began because Instagram DMs is my dark place. I can't keep track of it. It is not built for someone who's neurodivergent because if someone sends more than one message, it'll just say 2 messages. It doesn't give you a preview. It doesn't tell you what it's about. During the pandemic, I would open messages and a lot of times, we don't have this anymore, thank goodness, but a lot of times it'd be people screaming at me about my belief in science and I'd be like, okay, I can't like open 5 of these in a row and it's people losing their minds at me. I can't because also it's hard for me to not fight back. It's hard for me to not fight back. And so it's really hard. So I started like not really opening them, but now I get a lot of DMs from wonderful people and you guys, and I want to open them, but I can't open them and not respond. So I won't open one if I don't have time to respond. This is getting somewhere, I promise. If I don't have time to respond, I'm not gonna open it. So I end up not opening them because it's too many. It's untenable. And I don't want to leave anyone on read because, oh, how rude. I hate that feeling. You know, when it's like someone saw your message and they just don't say anything. Ew. So I just don't open them at all a lot of times. And so a lot of people, when I was posting about cold foam initially, told you I was going to bring it back. Girl took her meds. She can make things work. She can do her job. Okay, well, let's hope so. I maybe called a little too early. So people were DMing me en masse about foam. Everybody wanted to talk about cold foam. And I was like, this just makes no sense that I am having 100 conversations directly with different people about the same exact thing. I very much have like, you know, when your friends, again, ooh, we're going to try to see this all the way through. You know, when you introduce your friends to maybe another friend of yours and they become friends, typically one of two things happens. If your friends, like, let's say I introduce a Sophia to a Julienne. Sophia and Julienne meet. Then let's say I find out Sophia and Julian hang out without me there. Typically, one of two reactions happens. People go like, oh, my friends are hanging out without me. Or people go, oh my gosh, my friends like each other so much that they want to hang out. I am that person. I want everyone to be friends. To me, it's like, why would I have like a friendship with these two people and a friendship with these three people and a friendship with this one person? Everyone should be friends if we all like the same thing. And especially if we're all talking about cold foam, why am I talking to all these individuals when we could all be talking about it together in a group? Like, I have camp counselor mentality. That's my default. I want everyone to be brought together and be friends. That's just, I don't know. That's just how my brain is always working. I don't want to exclude people. I want everyone to be together in it. So getting all these messages about cold foam, I was like, this is so dumb and really inefficient. We should just talk on Facebook and we'll just go somewhere where we can all talk about it. And that's how the foam league began. And it's really wild because, again, I never like intended. I'm not in control of my life. Okay. I don't know. I just kind of go where the wind takes me and I try to have an endless pursuit of fun. And I like making new friends and I like talking to people. And that's kind of all journalism is. Well, more talking to people. If you're really serious, you're not making friends with people. But I love to make friends with people. So yeah, that's how we ended up with the Foamily. That's how it happened. And it's really, really great. And I also love when I run into people in the parks and they're like, oh, hi. And I'm like, oh, hi, lovely to meet you. And they're like, I'm in the Foamily. To me, it's like a cheat code. I'm like, oh, you're in the Foamily. It's like, oh, I didn't know we were related. Like, that's 23andMe to me, you know? Like, oh, we're in the Foamily? Okay. Okay. We have history. We have history here. And it's just a wonderful feeling. I love the Foamily. I love all of you. And yeah, this is why I'm like, I don't know how to make a video. I never intended to do social media stuff. Again, it was the same thing. I just kept being like, I'm writing these stories for websites, but I just want to tell people the information directly. People, I remember years ago when rides would open, people didn't have the information they needed when the ride opened. They'd be like, I'm going to the opening of this. Is there a single rider line? Like, what is the deal? And so I was that middle person and I just wanted to reach everyone directly all the time. So it's really just that, I guess my whole life is spurred by like cabin inclusivity. Again, I'm just a camp counselor. My whole life is camp counselor and I love it that way. So yeah, I didn't expect to talk for 8 minutes about foam, but you know what? That's where we are. And yeah, also I missed the podcast, The Ride Guys. I need to see them. Who had a birthday? Someone had a birthday. Maybe it's Jane. He was Mike. I missed like multiple birthdays, which is usually when we'd see each other. And I got to catch up with them because they're all lovely. Thank you so much for calling. Great, great choice in listening. And yeah, if you're not in the Foamily, join the Foamily. It's just a really nice place to be. Okay, bye.
Hi, Carly. This is Michelle from New Jersey. I hope you had a fabulous time at Amoozapalooza. Cannot wait to hear all the details in the next podcast on it. And hope I can join for a future repeat trip that you have. My question is, I had used many services in a Facebook group called Ear for Each Other. You may be familiar, but it was basically a Facebook group that had a bunch of furloughed cast members that during COVID were able to use their services and skills to, you know, reemploy themselves. It seems like many of those people got cease and desist from Disney, that they're no longer allowed to provide the services on Disney property. Many of those services of which don't exist from Disney, so I could understand if Disney had a competing like service, but a lot of these people were providing services that Disney doesn't provide. Specifically, I used a photographer to take pictures for a family when we took our first trip to Disney with our daughter. And wanted to do first year photos with her, like at the boardwalk area, but they no longer do that. And you know, from what I found on Disney's website, doesn't seem like they offer photography outside of the theme parks. Anyway, all for that. I'm just curious to your thoughts. And you know, could Disney potentially be providing the services in the future? You know, what was I don't know how I can potentially have a recreation photo shoot on the boardwalk for my daughter's first birthday. So anyway, sorry, this might have been a lot of rambling, but just curious your thoughts and if you had any suggestions. Thanks so much.
Hi, thank you for this call because this is something we haven't talked about here. And I looked into it and yeah, you're onto something. I'd seen some similar things regarding like third-party vendors dropping things off at the resorts and then something shifting there. I didn't realize how big of a shift had happened and that it did affect photography. So I asked around, I talked to a few people, and it looks like, yes, third-party photographers were recently told they are no longer allowed to do those type of like paid portrait photo shoots at hotel resorts at Walt Disney World any longer. I'm pretty sure they weren't allowed to shoot in the parks ever, but I think resorts were previously allowed, and now it is kind of shut down. The thing that is strange here is that Disney, obviously, like, they got all those new PhotoPass cameras. They, like, have PhotoPass photographers there when the characters do the surprise appearances at some of the hotels. But it's weird because Disney doesn't currently offer anything to hire them to do a photo shoot. So if you want to do a photo shoot at, like, the Boardwalk or at Yacht Club, you currently can't bring in your own photographer, but you also can't hire Disney to do this. I am assuming if they went forward with a big change like this and they let photographers know that the policy had shifted, I'm assuming that that means, I can only assume that they will be expanding those, you know, those mini photo pass sessions. They will likely be expanding those to the hotel because people want to get their family photos taken naturally. Like, this is a very important place. And so I'm assuming that Disney will be introducing something in the future. But for right now, there's like kind of no option. And I'm really sorry that there's like no option I can give you. There's nobody to hire because you can't hire Disney and you can't hire non-Disney. Like, this recent shift, for photography specifically, I feel like this move, like, it wouldn't make sense otherwise unless they were cooking something up. But I really hope that they do expand Disney PhotoPass to the resorts, because otherwise you can't really get your family photos right now. But that is Disney specific. I, as always, I want to shout out my friend Zach Wolf, by the way, who I will probably be booking a family photo session with, not at Walt Disney World, because I'm not gonna break any rules. But Zach is a great Orlando area photographer. He actually just did an engagement shoot for a few friends of mine, and he shot at Epic Universe. I'm pretty sure that Universal has different rules. He shot like really cutie romantic photos at Epic Universe. It was really good. And he's a fantastic photographer, and I recommend him so much. So reach out to him. He's in the Orlando area. He's great. He's so chill. Great dude. Friends with everyone he meets. Wonderful. Check him out. And I'm really sorry to be the bearer of bad news when it comes to photography, but hopefully something will happen soon. And worst case scenario, listen, look around your hotel, find anybody who is between 13 and 22. If there's a little girly playing on her phone, if there's anyone like taking Instagram shots, anyone posing with like the leg, you know, like your leg up, like on your knee and like, boop, like grab them and be like, please take a few photos of me and my family, and I guarantee they're gonna hit. The youth know, okay? The youth know how to take a photo. Me, old, don't know. But the youth know. The youth always know.
Hey, Carly, this is Courtney from St. Louis. I was just calling because I am planning on taking my almost 3-year-old daughter to Disneyland in April, trying to get one last trip in before I have to pay for her while she's still free. And we're looking at a couple of dates, and one of the nights there is an after hours event at Disneyland. We're planning to do one park per day, so one day in each park. I'm wondering which park we should do on the night that Disneyland has the after hours event. Is it beneficial with a 3-year-old to just do the park during the day and kind of call it a little bit earlier so that we maybe avoid some crowds? Do you think it'll be slower in Disneyland during the day when there's an after hours event there? Or should we just plan to do DCA that day and do Disneyland the day that there's not an after hours event? Hope that made sense and appreciate your help. Thanks so much. Love the podcast. Bye.
Hi. Okay, great question. I am kind of reverse engineering your trip a little I feel like I'm being detective-like, but I'm really just taking the information you gave me and trying to answer in a cohesive way. So I'm looking, and I do see that there is the after hours. Which one is this one? The Disney Channel night? Yeah, Disneyland After Dark, Disney Channel night on April 12th, 14th, and I believe 16th. The hours for the 16th aren't out yet, so I'm going to be playing off the 12th and the 14th. Now, this ticketed event is late. It is 9 p.m. until 1 a.m., which means that people who are attending this event have early admissions starting at 6 p.m. So starting at 6 p.m., you're going to see that crossover that you would see at Disney World, where a lot more people are coming into the park. Now, at Disney World, typically, like, the low-key rule is that, if there's a Christmas party, a Halloween party, a Magic Kingdom, you want to go that morning because there's not going to be a lot of people there that morning. As a local, I am going to be so honest with you. I've never heard a single thing about anything when it comes to that at Disneyland. Like, I know that's kind of a rule at Disney World, but here, It's never even crossed my mind in a way where I'm like, maybe it's statistically insignificant. But because you are traveling with someone who is under three, I think what it really comes down to is if you are planning on staying for fireworks. Because I don't know the exact days of your trip and I don't know the exact nights, but typically they don't have fireworks at Disneyland Resort every single night of the week. If you are doing one park per day and you are hitting Disneyland on one of these days of these parties, you're not going to get stuff like Fantasmic. You're not going to get Wondrous Journeys with fireworks. You're not going to get that because you will have to leave the park at, I believe it will be 8 p.m. is when that park will likely close on the 16th also, but on the 12th and the 14th, 8 p.m. is when the park's going to close. However, you are there with a toddler. I don't know what time zone you're coming from, so there is a chance that you will probably be out of the park before then. If you are, if fireworks is something, and fireworks are fantastic, is something you absolutely want to see with your kid, I would plan around that instead of potential crowd shifts with the party, because a lot of that stuff is going to be over the weekend. So if you are going like the 10th, 11th, 12th, I would make sure to plan around that. All those hours are now on the site. We're like almost at the full length of that week. So by the time this comes out, you will be able to check the hours for the 16th and so on. But basically plan around that, because Sunday the 12th, there's a ticketed party and you're not going to be able to see that. But Friday and Saturday, you will be able to see fireworks and things like that. If I was you, I would not be at the park through fireworks most likely. So I would end up just hoping for the best and hoping and praying. But honestly, Disneyland has been pretty evenly busy lately. You can cross-check with crowd calendars. But the thing is, they have this Southern California promotion ticket, which is incredible. I bought one for Ben. You guys know about it. It made the parks, I think, as cheap as $83 per day for a park hopper. Again, it was cheaper for us to buy a three-day park hopper ticket for my husband that he can use over many months than it was to buy one single ticket for a man to park hop on Valentine's Day. So I think a lot of people have this ticket. A lot of people are going. The availability for the ticket is still pretty wide. Like, you can still book a lot of days and you're kind of coming right out of the spring break bump. So it's really up to you. I would just do whatever you think works best for your toddler's schedule, depending on what you think your nighttime plans are going to be. And if you're planning on like sleeping in, hanging out, and then going to the park in the late afternoon, definitely do not do the Disneyland on the day of the party. But otherwise, you're going to get a full day in the park. Like, the park is open till 8. That's pretty late. Like, that's much later than some of the parties. So I would keep that in mind and plan around that instead of like, oh, it's a party. Should I go or should I not? I think that is probably your best move. But again, check crowd calendars and keep in mind, people have this ticket now, and like a lot of the data that we have, I feel like crowd calendars right now aren't the most reliable, because a lot of the data that we have is based on single day ticket prices and stuff like that, the dynamic pricing. And now with this 3-day ticket, it's like this silent ticket that can be used on weekends or weekdays interchangeably. There's really not many block out dates. So it's a little more wishy-washy. I hope that is helpful, but I would say choose whatever works best for you. And on that day of the party, just plan that you might not get as much done later in the day because people might be coming early. And a lot of people are Magic Key holders too, so they might come earlier than 6 p.m. as opposed to people who would blow a ticket to go to a party early at Magic Kingdom and then actually have the ticketed party. So people, you know, might come after school, after work, might come earlier than that, like 6 o'clock entry time. So it's up to you. Depends on how much you think you want to do at Disneyland. But yeah, I hope that's helpful. I hope you have a good time. Okay. I don't know why I panicked. I guess I panicked a little because like we know this for Disney World, but I myself don't know this much for Disneyland, but I feel like, Disneyland on a day where this is happening, it might encourage some people to not go, but it is also late. So again, fireworks is the thing I would lead with, and toddler bedtime, because otherwise you can probably get a lot done in that morning and it will be fine. Okay, I'm going to stop being neurotic about it. I hope you have so much fun. I hope this was a little bit helpful. Have a great time. And yeah, buying a ticket for someone 3 and older feels bad. Like, I have a dumpling with legs and now I got Aspire annual passes. Oh, I can't get into it. It's very frustrating. But you know, and I'm glad you're squeezing on a trip because that's the way to do it. Have so much fun. Okay, bye. Welcome back, Becky.
I just woke up from my 2-second nap. It's great.
Guys, I let her rest for a few moments, and then I was like, we need to resurrect her. There's Disney discounts, and we got to talk about it.
If you are a Disney Plus subscriber, they have a little perk for you. It does require a 2-night minimum stay, which isn't a problem.
Which
in
is
Disney
very,
World, right?
Just very low.
Exactly. Valid most nights, June 21st to August 15th. Prices per night for room only, as low as All-Star Sports in a standard room, $99 a night.
These are prices that I remember, Becky, yeah, from when I booked my bachelorette party 11 years ago.
Years ago.
11 years yeah ago.
Port Orleans Riverside is $169 in a standard room. Art of Animation in a Cars Family Suite, are you sitting down? Mm-hmm. $249. Animal Kingdom Lodge, Savannah View, $369 a night plus
tax. Do you know how much money I've paid for that view? It is not.
A lot more than that.
It is not under $400, I can tell you that.
No, these are restricted just to these resorts and just these views, and they are going to go quickly. So if it's something you really are interested in and you're a Disney Plus subscriber, give us a call. Let us know. We'll be happy to see if we can find these for you. But we have not seen these rates this low in years and years and years. On top of that, they still have their Get a Free Dining Plan rolling. So if the room rate was enough to get you there, you can purchase a non-discount minimum 4-night, 4-day package that includes room and ticket with Park Hopper and get that free dining plan if you book by April 30th. So that one's going to come up on us pretty quickly if they don't extend it. And it's for most stays June 28th to December 21st. So it wow goes for the rest of the year. There's some blockout dates in there, obviously, for the holidays, but it does cover a lot of space for you. And if that doesn't appeal to you, they do have the save up to 30% off rooms for late summer and early fall, 30% from July 30th to October 3rd, with the Florida residents saving up to 35% and pass holders saving up to 40%. But wait, there's more. You don't want to go to Disney World. Don't worry. We got you. Alani is there. And they've come up with a new date for their save up to 25% rate for 5 or more nights and 20% off 4 consecutive nights. And that's most nights August 9th to October 18th if you book by September 27th. Last but not least, because of course there's always something at Disneyland.
Always.
Our home park. Mm-hmm. Save up to 25% on select Disneyland Resort hotels May 22nd to September 7th. Wow. And it is for the Grand Californian, the Disneyland Hotel, and the Villas at Disneyland Hotel. But that has to be completed by September 8th. So right now, if you want to experience Disney in many of its forms, there's an offer for you.
Incredible. And don't forget, guys, $50 kids tickets at Disneyland this summer. So yeah, you literally use your savings on tickets for young children or children. Any children, older children, all of them.
All the children.
In your family. And mine just ran through the house. It's like she knew. It's like she knew that it was possible for us to go to Disneyland. Thank you so much, Becky. These are amazing. And I'm so glad to be able to share them.
Well, thank you for having me as usual. I love sharing these details. And of course, for those who want to look at the cruises and say you're listening to us right now and it's midnight, just go to bookmeicruise.com and you can pull up all the Disney cruises there as well.
Oh, you're the best.
See ya.
That's our show! Thank you all so much for listening, and thank you for your calls. I got to a lot of them, not all of them. I tried my best, but I'm getting through them, and I thank you so much for calling. It is so fun to be able to have this little voicemail box, and I love it so much. Again, and especially on our Churros Call episode, if you were like, I want to call, but like, I'll do it later, I don't want to pick up the phone, listen, let this be like your physical therapy for calling, okay? Let this be the space where you like try things out, you see if you can do it, because I also get it. I had to call Chase Bank multiple times today, and I tried to email someone to get around calling, and I still had to call. And I do not like using the phone typically, so I get it. But I want this to be like a training area for you where you can call us and feel comfy. And if you hang up and you have to call back, I only listen to your most recent call, so you are fine. So feel free to call us anytime at 747-CHURROS. No inquiry is too small. I love to get them, and I want it to be a nice place for you too. I want you to not have to feel stressed about calling, because I have called podcasts before and I've been like shaking while I do it, and I don't want that stress for you. I want to heal that in all of us, which I can't believe. I hate picking up the phone. It's like literally a journalist's job. job is to pick up the phone. And frankly, I love talking to people. Hate picking up a phone. You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts. You can rate and follow us and comment on Spotify. I assume most of you at this point, after hearing me every week, have given us a rating. But if you haven't, it really does like indicate how many people like the show, how many people like it, like how many people listen. It kind of like helps people who haven't seen it before be like, oh, this is a real show, and not just a woman staring at a Muppet parody calendar cover of Seinfeld, but it's the Muppets talking alone in her office, which it also is, because that's what I'm doing right now. But it just gives us a little gleam. It makes us seem a little fancier. If you're planning a trip, Disney, Universal, Royal Caribbean, all the other cruise lines, Disney Cruise Line, any of that, please reach out to MEI Mouse Fan Travel, and they will help you plan your trip. If you've listened this far, you know Becky got some big awards recently. Like, MEI Mouse Fan Travel is legit, guys. I'm partnering with the best. The best of the best. And I am so happy that they are here to help you plan your trips for absolutely free. They'll do all the hard work. They'll even try to take advantage of deals. They will do everything for you, and it doesn't cost you an extra cent. Head to mousefantravel.com/amusing to book any of your travel needs and have so much fun traveling. I just booked a summer trip. Ooh, so get excited. Get excited. Follow me at Carly Wiesel on the internet. Join the Fomaly at facebook.com/group/CarlyWiesel. And if you didn't know what the Fomaly was before, you do now. Subscribe to my Instagram, 99 cents a month. It's basically just like close friends. It's like close friends. I'm posting extra stuff there. I'm saying some extra things. It's just like a really nice little place. And it's nice. I try to price it like as cheaply as possible. 99 cents a month. Not to be like, my content is worth nothing, but I don't want to overextend you. There's a lot of like subscription-based stuff now. You got all the TVs. You got the people have newsletters. People have patrons. Like, it's a lot. It's a lot to keep paying and paying and paying. So I'm like, a dollar a month? A dollar a month feels good. It feels little. Dollar a month? That's only a few cents a day? Don't make me do math. Don't make me do math. Just subscribe, and I promise you'll enjoy it. Thank you so much for listening, and see you real soon.
Hi, honey. It's Mom. Gabzesh for sure. The mishmash reminds me of soup from a deli or a bagel. So Gabzesh for sure. As a little girl, you were probably about Pearl's age, and all you ever wanted to wear was dresses every day, or sometimes I can get some leggings on you with the dresses. I don't remember you ever not liking any of your outfits, and I bought you a lot, but sometimes you would go shopping with me, and you'd pick out your own outfits, so you always liked wearing what you picked out, but also bribery always worked. As far as weathering heights, you were programmed to say Worthing like popcorn, like the Werther's popcorn. I know that's what's in your head. Anyway, I remember when we bought the Nux oil in Paris. It was so great, and it was so inexpensive there at the drugstore. I still love mine, but I ended up buying another one, and it's way more here. But anyway, it does come in a sparkle oil as well. It's very good. Honey, you love wall-to-wall carpeting? Well, guess what? We have wall-to-wall carpeting at home. Come home. Come visit. Anyway, would you buying Pearl that pass for Disneyland is so justified? Pearl goes to Disneyland more than anyone I know. So you know what? That's great. And that credit card is even better. Money back for the gift shop. Like, what? That is so great. All right. I don't know if you know, but I do like cottage cheese. But I have two unbelievable recipes. One is so easy. You take the cottage cheese, you put it on a tray, you put everything spice on it, and you cook it for 40 minutes, and it comes out like cottage cheese chips. It's like cheesy chips. It doesn't taste cottage cheesy. And I also make a cottage cheese ice cream that I put in the little blender, and I put in some cocoa and honey and dates, and it is the best ice cream after you freeze it. So I can definitely show you when I see you pretty soon, and I would love to make those recipes for you. They're so good. All right, I'm a little concerned. Focus Friend app, a baby bean knitting so you don't scroll on your phone, decorating a bean's apartment with points you get, meant too tall for the movies. You crack me up. I'm getting nervous. I love you, Carly. I love you, Pearl. Great week, honey.